So good morning, everyone. I am actually not even supposed to be here today. The person who was supposed to be here is this lady over here, Farzan Nemahdi Soltani. She's a graduate student at the University of Toronto. She's Iranian, and she didn't get her visa. So I'm her advisor, and I'm kind of filling in for her here. I'm the third author on the paper, Bianca Schroeder. So what we are interested in is storage system reliability. In particular, what we are interested in is partial drive failures. And when I say drive, I include both hard disk drives or solid state drives. So in contrast to a whole drive failure, where you basically have the entire drive that stops functioning, working properly, you have, in the case of a partial drive failure, individual partial parts of the drives that don't work anymore. That could, for example, be individual sectors. It could be, in the case of a solid state drive, an erase block unit, or it could be a chip. So what's the consequence if you have any of those partial drive failures? So if you have a system without any redundancy outside of the drive, you're actually losing data. So the drive is at this point not able to deliver the data that is stored in the parts that are affected by this partial drive failure. Now, of course, most enterprise storage systems have redundancy built in. It could be through replication, erasure codes, RAID. Even in those cases, a partial drive failure can still cause data loss. And the reason is that you might, for example, have a RAID 5 system, you experience a whole drive failure. While you're trying to reconstruct the data that is on the failed drive, so you're reading all the other drives, you encounter a partial drive failure. So you can still lose data in the case of a partial drive failure if you discover it while you're in a vulnerable state, you're already recovering from another type of failure, even a system with redundancy. And that's one of the main reasons for people looking at things like RAID 6 or stronger erasure codes. So our paper actually deals with different types of partial drive failures. In this talk, I'll focus only on one particular type, and that is sector errors. So a sector error is the situation where an individual sector on a drive is not accessible anymore. Sometimes people call this also media error, or it's sometimes referred to as an uncorrectable error. The reason is that a typical cause of a sector error is that you have the data on the sector corrupted, and the drive internal error correcting codes are not strong enough to correct it, so you have an uncorrectable error. Now, the really tricky thing, the nasty thing about those sector errors is that they are latent. That means you don't know that you're having a sector error until you're actually trying to read the data on that sector. So for that reason, most commercial storage systems don't use just redundancy to protect against those. They have additional mechanisms specifically targeted at those sector errors. And one of those is, for example, a periodic scrub process, which basically is a process that runs continuously in the background, scans the disk periodically in order to proactively early detect those errors and correct them so that you do not run into the situation that you encounter a sector error while you're recovering from another, like a whole disk failure. So given that I told you I'll talk about sector errors mostly in this talk, how common are those errors actually? So there's data that was published about 10 years ago based on drives at NetApp that found that on average 3.5% of all the drives in their population experience at least one sector error, typically more than one if they experience one. This data is 10 years old, so we thought we should probably go and get some more recent data. So we got access to data from Backblaze data centers. Backblaze is a backup company here in the Bay Area. And what we found is that the averages are very similar to what the NetApp data found, slightly higher actually. But if you look, for example, at the 7 most common hard disk models, 2 of them have 11% and 25% of their population affected by sector errors. That's pretty significant. There's also recent data that came out last year in a work that I was also involved with that used data from Google's data centers looking at solid state drives. So the previous numbers were for hard disk drives only. And we saw that a quarter to a half of all the solid state drives at Google do actually experience sector errors, uncorrectable errors. So they're clearly a problem now. And the bad news is that they're expected to only get a bigger problem in the future. And the reason is that disks keep growing in capacity. They also keep growing in density. And those trends only point towards sector errors becoming more frequent and not less frequent. So clearly, we need to do something to protect against them. So the premise of our work is basically that if we were able to predict errors ahead of time, we could, first of all, make much more efficient use of the mechanisms we have to protect against them, or maybe even come up with new mechanisms for protecting against them. So one example would be going back to the scrubber that I mentioned, this disk scan process that keeps running in the background. If you could predict errors ahead of time, we could start to scan a scrub right away, and maybe at a faster rate than usual, to catch those errors right away so that they're not latent for a long time, causing us this very large window of vulnerability. So if you are interested in storage system reliability, then you might have heard about work that looks at, prior work that looks at prediction in the context of storage reliability. The main difference between that prior work and our work is that prior work is focused on predicting whole drive failures. And their objective is to use those predictions to proactively replace a drive when it's predicted to fail soon. So our work is very different in that, first of all, we have a different objective. We are only interested in those partial drive failures. Because this objective that we have is different, predicting partial drive failures so that we can optimize the protection mechanisms, the constraints that we are working are also different. And you're trying to predict whole disk failures, then you really need, for example, very low false positive rates, because a false alarm is very expensive. Replacing a drive is very expensive. If you're just trying to tune other protection mechanisms, so for example, triggering an extra scrub, you have much more leeway in allowing false positive rates, for example. Another difference is that most of the prior work actually is based on pretty small data sets that are often not even field data. And we wanted to look at how do those predictors work with real field data from data centers. And we go one step further. We don't just present predictors here, the predictors. We're trying to look at how can you use those predictions and by how much can you actually improve storage system reliability using those predictors. Okay, so given that we're interested in predicting errors, how do you go about that? The good thing is that all drives pretty much do already report all kinds of operational statistics through a standard interface that's called SMART. So you can monitor a drive over time. SMART has a couple of hundred different parameters that it reports that includes things like workload, temperature, power on hours, different types of errors, lots of stuff in there. So you can monitor a drive over time. And if at a given point in time, let's say now, right here, you want to predict within the next time interval, maybe the next week, am I going to have any errors? You can look at the data that you have available that you have observed maybe over the past time interval and use that to make predictions. And if you look at this setup, this is actually very close to a standard machine learning problem with this classification. So if you have a bunch of explanatory variables, that's your SMART values, and you have this response variable, which is in the next time interval, will I have an error? So this is a standard machine learning problem, a classical problem, so there are obviously existing approaches out there. And this list has the most common typical solutions out there. So it starts with decision trees, random forests, logistic regression, support vector machines, and neural networks. And they're not listed in some arbitrary order here. They're actually sorted by increasing complexity. So as you go further down on this list, those methods have more and more parameters, which makes their training and tuning a lot more complex. So in our work, we considered all of these methods. And what we wanted to figure out is, so first of all, can you get reasonable accuracy? Is it possible to predict sector errors? Is it hopefully possible with some of the simpler methods that are easier to train and to use? And then most importantly, in the second part, can we use those predictions in practice for some real use case to improve storage reliability? So starting with the first part, can we predict sector errors using those methods? To do machine learning, you need data. The data we use comes partially from Google, that is data on solid state drives, and then we use data from Backblaze on hard disk drives. The Backblaze data is actually publicly available, so you can all go and download it right now and reproduce all our results on that data set. So we trained all those different machine learning methods on these data sets for a total of 5 different disk models, 3 hard disk models, 2 solid state drive models. We followed standard machine learning practice for things like doing prior data transformations, doing feature selection, doing the actual training. I'm not going into the details now, but they're all in the paper, so you can look them up there. And then we measured how good those different methods are. And we used 2 standard methods, metrics. One is the false positive rate. So that basically tells you the rate of false alarms that you're getting. It tells you what fraction of time intervals that did not have an error did you actually predict to have an error. And then there's the other side of the same coin, which is the false negative rate, which tells you what fraction of errors you missed. So what fraction of time intervals did have an error, but you wrongly said there's no error. So for all the different methods and the different data sets, in the end, we'll have a plot like this that shows you the false positive rate on the x-axis, the false negative rate on the y-axis, and you want to be in the bottom left corner, ideally, for perfect accuracy. Okay? So here are the first results, and that's for the Seagate hard disk drive. And if you look at those results, you make 2 observations, actually, that are both really good news. The first one is, if you compare the different methods against each other, the one that performs by far the best, the black line in this graph there, are random forests. Random forests are a combination of decision trees, and they're a very simple and easy to use predictor. So one of the least complex ones perform best, so that's good. The other observation is, if you look at the quality of the predictions there, it's actually really good. So I'm giving one data point as an example there. If you're, for example, willing to tolerate a 2% false alarm rate, you can catch 90% of all errors. So that is pretty good. That was for one of the hard disk models. The other one looks like this. So very, very similar trends, slightly less accuracy maybe, but the trends are really the same. So that was for the hard disk drives. We repeated the same thing for the solid state drives. And this is one example that's pretty representative that was kind of in the middle from the 3 models. So what you see is the trends are similar. Again, random forests do very well. Unfortunately, overall accuracy, you will notice, is slightly lower. And it's very hard for us to say. It could be because SSDs are different devices, their error mechanisms are different. It could also be that these devices use a different way of reporting errors. They're custom devices that don't use SMART. So it might be that the type of statistics that are being reported are different and not as good for predictions, and we have no way of knowing what is the reason. The important question, though, really is, are these predictions still good enough for use in the different use cases in practice that we'll consider? And this spoiler alert, they are. I'll show you later an example. So one thing you always want to consider when looking at predictions is how robust are they? And by robust, I mean, for example, do they still work well if you don't have much data? So we experimented with the same data sets, but we reduced the size of a training set to 90%, 80%, all the way down to 10% of what we did in the previous experiments. And we compared those all against each other. And what we see is even if you have much, much less data than we had available, things still look almost identical. The other problem that happens very often in practice is that you might be deploying a new drive model in your data center. So you do have no prior data for that drive model. So what we looked at is, can you maybe use the predictor, the classifier that you trained for a different drive model that you've been using for many years, to predict errors on this new drive model? And we tried that out. These are the results where the red line are the predictions for Seagate with a classifier that was trained on the Seagate data. Then we tried to predict errors for the Seagate model, but we used the classifier that was trained on the Hitachi model. So what you see is, yeah, you lose some accuracy, but it's actually still surprisingly accurate. And we purposely took 2 drives from 2 different vendors, so there's no reason to believe that they're engineered similar, purposely to have similar reporting, similar error behavior. So that was predictions. We've seen we can predict with a reasonable accuracy. What do we do with those predictions? So one use case that we considered, in the paper we looked at a few more, one use case that we considered is optimizing a disk scrubber. I've already mentioned a disk scrubber is this background process that periodically scans the disk. A common setup is that you try to complete one whole disk scan within 1 week or within 2 weeks. And the point is to detect those latent errors quickly and correct them before they cause you any problems. Now, the problem is that scrubbing is getting more and more expensive as drives are getting bigger. They're getting slower. They put overhead on the system. They create extra load. So our suggestion is what if you usually use your default scrub rate, whatever you think is tolerable for your system, but then whenever an error is predicted, you increase the scrub rate. So you immediately start scrubbing at a faster rate so that you detect those errors faster. So the approach is whenever, for the next time interval, an error is predicted, you increase the scrub rate, the speed at which the scrubber scans the disk, by a factor of X. And X is a parameter that you can control based on what you think your system can handle as the maximum scrub rate. So if you do that, then the benefits are pretty clear. If you increase your scrub rate by a factor of X, on average, you will find errors X times faster. Unfortunately, the cost is also pretty clear. If during a time interval, because an error was predicted, you scrub X times faster, you will issue X times more scrub operations compared to the default case with the default scrubber. So the good thing is that this trade-off between the cost and benefit is one that you can control. So one is obviously this parameter X, but also the number of times, like how often you trigger an accelerated scrub is something that you can control. And you can control it by configuring your predictor accordingly. So if you remember what those graphs look like for the predictors, there's a very big range of different false positive rates in exchange for whatever false negative rate you get. So if you think that you can really not tolerate too much time in accelerated scrub mode, you have to be conservative about the false positive rate that you allow. If on the other hand, you're willing to be more aggressive going after those errors and you think you can handle the extra load, you can be a bit more lenient and allow a higher false positive rate. So that's a parameter that you can control. And in our experiments, we actually do that. We experiment with a wide range of different false positive rates and also different values for X. So we simulated this approach of using an accelerated scrubber. And for each simulation run that we do, we report what was the total fraction of time that the system now spent in this accelerated scrub mode. And for the same experiment, we record how much faster do we now detect errors. This MTTD on the y-axis there is the mean time to error detection. So by how much do we bring that down? And here are results for the Seagate drive. We experiment with three different values of X. Again, X is the factor by which you accelerate. And what you see is looking, for example, at one example here for X equals 2, so you double your scrub speed. Even if you have only 2% of the total time that you are willing to spend in accelerated mode, you detect errors on average by almost a factor of 2 faster. So you get almost the full benefits of this factor of 2. That you increase the scrub rate in those cases when you have a correct prediction. So that was a hard disk drive, a Seagate hard disk drive. And for those, if you remember, the prediction quality was slightly better. So what you really might wonder at this point is, what about the solid state drives, which did not have as accurate predictors? That is an example for the worst case scenario. This is the solid state drive that has the worst quality predictions. And what you see is that you still actually get pretty interesting results. So if you're willing to spend 1 or 2% of time in accelerated mode, you can catch errors on average 1.5 times faster if you increase your scrub rate by a factor of 2. So it's not a factor of 2, but 1.5 is still a very significant improvement. Similarly, you can look at what if I don't have a perfect predictor. So this is when I use the Hitachi predictor for the Seagate model, comparing the blue with the red. Results still look pretty good. And really what I'm trying to do here is show you in a brief overview of some of the results. And they mainly serve as a proof of concept. There are lots of different extensions that you could do, other things that you could explore. The paper talks about them. There's, for example, no reason that it has to be a binary regular rate versus X times increase. You could have this as a continuous spectrum. There's a bunch of other things you could do. The paper talks about a number of other use cases. Scrubbing is one thing that you could do. There's a bunch of other things that you could do. Basically, take existing mechanisms, tune them better, do proactive replacement of, for example, blocks that you're expecting to fail. a number of other things that we discuss in the paper. So in summary, partial drive failures do happen at a significant rate in the field. They can be predicted, and that's the good news, with pretty high accuracy using relatively simple and easy to use machine learning techniques. And they are robust. They're robust even in the case if you don't have a lot of data or if you do not have data for the drive that you're trying to predict for. Those predictions can be used. We've demonstrated that using one use case to improve storage system reliability. So the one use case that we simulated in detail is if you adjust the rate of a scrubber to find errors faster. You can do that. You find errors on average significantly faster with actually very little cost overheads, very little time that you have to do with these aggressive accelerated scrubs. And that finishes my talk. I'm happy to hear any questions you might have.
Susan? Okay. Hi, Bianca.
Hi, Fred.
Fred Douglas Dell at EMC. So it seems like you're trying to identify specific errors. You wanted to know this particular sector is going to go bad and we're going to identify it before it dies. But in most systems, there is actually other redundancy, like RAID. And so the question is, have you looked at trying to use some sort of correlation similar to RAID Shield, for example, where you could say that the things that protect this are also more vulnerable? That's when we really care about it, and that's when we should really try to identify which things are possibly bad in multiple related disks.
So you're suggesting there are often correlations between the different parts that are supposed to create redundancy that helps you out in protecting against failures, right? And so maybe we should take those correlations into account. And that would be interesting. So correlations, I could imagine, could be relevant in two different contexts. And unfortunately, we didn't have the data to experiment with things like that. You could, for example, look at within a drive, if some sectors are failing, it's likely that in the nearby vicinity, other sectors are failing. So you could make your scrubber localized, and rather than just predicting there will be errors, you could try to predict where are those errors. Similarly for SSDs, if within one ship you have errors, if your future errors, they're more likely to be in that ship, so you could scrub do a targeted scrub on that ship, and we just didn't have location information for those errors, so we couldn't do that. You could very well, when you do predictions, take into account data on other drives in the same system, because it is likely, as you said, if you have multiple drives set up that create redundancy to protect against failures, it's very perceivable that there's correlation between them. So what happens in other drives might tell you something about what's going to happen for the drive that you're trying to predict. But again, unfortunately, we didn't have any data available on where those drives that we have data for are located and which ones are in the same system.
Hi, Ryan Huang from Johns Hopkins University. So are the partial errors here permanent, or have you seen some transient error in your data set? And if so, how does that affect the prediction?
So these are errors that the drive at least considers to be permanent, because drives will internally do a few retries when they can't read a sector. So they will not give you back a sector error unless they have tried internally already a few times. A lot of storage systems or file systems will do that in addition by themselves, so they will also try to retry a few more times.
Sergey Levchenko, Microsoft Research. So do you know why these errors happen in the first place? Because the fact that the model is able to predict them consistently suggests that there must be a correlation between some factors and the errors. So do you know why what this is?
Yes, so one of the really nice things about decision trees or random forests is that you can actually look at these trees and you could, and we haven't done that detailed analysis, you could actually look at the trees and you could see what are the most important variables that tell you what will happen. Like there's 200-something smart parameters. With feature selection, you can narrow it down to a few that are really important. But probably within those, I think we narrowed it down to 8 features, but it's in the paper. There are probably a few that are the most important ones. You could look at that. I haven't done that. I remember from a different analysis that I've done in the past for solid-state drives, it's prior errors on the same drive that are most predictive. And it can actually be errors of different type. It doesn't have to be sector errors. Like any other types of errors were also all correlated with later uncorrectable errors.
Because you could perhaps use your work to improve the design of hard disk drives if you identify why that happens.
Because you think it might tell you something about the root cause of this problem, right?
Yes.
You could So for example, for a hard disk at least, workload might be one thing that you had, you know, a write that went wrong. So yeah, you could correlate it with workload parameters. I have done it to some degree and I haven't seen much correlation, but it might be that the data that I had was too coarse grained.
Okay, thank you.
Peter Desnoyers, Northeastern. Have you looked at also, you know, the trade-off between scrubbing and modern drive wear limit limitation? So you get about 100 device reads per year budget or so nowadays.
Yes, and so we haven't looked at it, but that definitely is something that you could explore in the future. Like, there's no reason that you have to do exactly what we do, where you always scrub, and then when you see an error, you accelerate the scrub, right? You could configure in any possible way. You could also say, okay, I don't want to, under normal circumstances, scrub at all, and only when I see an error, that's when I scrub. So you could use it if you have a certain read budget and you want to stay below that, you could definitely optimize your scrubber to do that based on the predictions.
Thank you. Actually, that does sound useful.